This show is a proud member of the Dice Tower Network, the Justice League of board game podcasts. Find out more at Dicetower.com.
Welcome to another episode of the Family Gamers Podcast. We have made it all the way to episode 218.
Hey everybody, how you doing? We are super excited and delighted to be with you this week. As always, I am your host Andrew, and I am joined by my lovely and wonderful wife Anitra.
That's me.
And we have a very fun and interesting topic coming at you this week. We are going to talk about tiling games. This week it is Room to Grow tiling games.
This might be a little controversial because a lot of tile laying games are approachable at a young age, but we figured we would still grade them out a little bit with easier and harder games.
I don't think it's going to be controversial. I just think that there's a lot of different ideas of what a tile laying game is.
Sure.
So that's going to be that. But unsurprisingly, it is episode 218 of the Family Gamers Podcast, and I have a fact about the number 218.
Okay.
All right, here we go. This episode is coming out on November 2nd, 2020.
11-2-2020, mm-hmm. Yes.
What is tomorrow, Anitra?
It's election day in most of the United States of America.
It is officially election day. More people than ever have already voted, either voting early, absentee ballots, voting by mail, whatever it might be. But officially, November 3rd is election day. So I figured I would come up with a fact about politics.
Okay.
Here we go. How many people are in the House of Representatives?
400... something? Oh, you wrote it down for me. 435.
I did write it down for you. I thought you would just be like, oh, obviously it's 435, Andrew. Duh. 435 representatives in the House of Representatives. So that means, this is how the math works, a simple majority in the House is, you guessed it, 218.
That's half plus one. Well, it would be half plus one if it was an even number. Right. So, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
So, at the fundamental level, the core of our democratic republic, one of the two bodies of the legislative branch of our government can achieve majority with 218 votes.
That's a lot of votes.
But that's not all of the votes. If you haven't voted yet, you too can get out there and add your vote to the rest of them. So if you're listening to this on Monday when it comes out or on Tuesday, go vote, assuming you're of voting age and an American citizen and all of the other requirements for voting. But please do if you can.
We'd also like to thank our sponsor, First Move Financial. Let's face it, life is a resource management game. We have so much fun sitting around the table and plotting the use of resources in games like Power Grid or Terraforming Mars. Why is it so stressful in real life to manage our resources? It doesn't have to be. Resource management in real life follows many of the same principles, but because we're in it, it's a little harder to see. It helps to have an outside advisor in those cases, and that's what First Move Financial can do for you. For expert help applying some of the same principles that help you take down your friends in Agricola, head over to firstmovefinancial.com/familygamers today to schedule a call. Thanks again to First Move Financial for sponsoring this episode of the Family Gamers Podcast.
All right, well, before we get into our topic this week, our topic, of course, of tile-laying games, which really just makes me want to go play Isle of Skye, but oh, I gave one away! No! Oh, darn it! But I do want to play it. But anyway, before we get into our topic, we are going to talk about what we always talk about at this point in the show, and that is the games that we have been playing.
All right, let's do that.
And so before the show, Anitra, you were like, oh man, it's been a really light week of games for me. I only played 4 games. And I looked down at my list and I was like, man, it's been a really great week for me. I've played 4 games.
That says a lot about how our lives have gone recently. For what it's worth, 3 out of my 4 games were on recording day with our homeschooled son.
And they were. And also, the games that I played were very much games that are, for the most part, like more gamery or games that I really, really, really like. And so it's not an obligation thing. Only one of the games that I played was a game that we are going to be reviewing. The other three were like just pure fun. And listen, I love what we do, but it's kind of nice when I can walk away from the table and I don't have to take anything with me.
You don't have to do any notes.
Right, nothing. Yeah. None of those things. So there's a little extra bit of freedom that makes me super happy about the games that I played this week.
Well, let's start with talking about the game that you and I played together.
That's right. So last week, as you may know, we had Helena and Josh Capel from Kids Table Board Gaming on the show. And we mentioned at one point the game Haunt the House, because of course it's October, it's coming up on Halloween. It will have already been Halloween by the time this comes out. And they were like, what? Because I mentioned I hadn't ever played it.
We confessed that we had never played Haunt the House.
And so we got a copy.
Yeah.
And we played it. And you wrecked me.
I stomped you.
You wrecked me. Every instinct I had was wrong. Every instinct you had was right. It was bad.
Our kids ended up coming over and watching the two of us play. And my hope is, honestly, that it got them interested in playing the game.
Well, we did an episode 2 weeks ago talking about what our Halloween plans are going to be. And Haunt the House is absolutely 100 million percent going to feature prominently in our Halloween plans.
Yeah, I think so. It's of all of the Halloween type games we could play, other than Zombie Dice, it's probably the lightest and fastest moving, and it allows up to 5 players, which is perfect for our family.
Yes, absolutely. And honestly, there are some certain abilities, like on the rooms.
Yeah.
But really, ultimately, this is a slight bluffing set collection game, which is something that actually our 6-year-old is pretty good at.
Yep, sure is.
So it's going to be one of those games that'll immediately insert itself into the games that we can play at both ends of the spectrum, our 12-year-old and our 6-year-old. So I'm really looking forward to that. And it moves way faster than Ghost Fight and Treasure Hunters does, which is a great game, but it can be a little bit of a slog sometimes.
It can be a little draggy sometimes, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So really looking forward to playing that some more. But that was Haunt the House from Kids Table Board Gaming.
All right. Well, as I mentioned, I played 3 games today with our homeschooler because it's part of the way to celebrate the days that it's just the two of us and all of the other children are away. He pulled out Goblet Gobblers, which honestly our 6-year-old rescued from the giveaway pile because I'm like, nobody plays this game. Let's give it away.
Mm-hmm.
All of our children have now played this game in the last week.
I mean, we might need to just have like a box of games we rotate. I mean, that just might
it's very possible.
Have to be what we do.
But everybody's been having fun with it. And for what it's worth, Asher stomped me in Goblet Gobblers because the first game I was a little overconfident because I'm just like, it's tic-tac-toe. I got this. I've played it before. Yeah, he got me. And then the second time it was a harder fight, but he tricked me. And outmatched me. So
for those of you who don't know, Goblet Gobblers is an older game from, I think, Blue Orange.
It's from Blue Orange.
It is essentially tic-tac-toe combined with Russian nesting dolls.
Yeah, and it's also somewhat based on the Gigamic game Goblet, interestingly enough, which has this same nesting doll mechanic.
Okay.
But Goblet Gobblers is basically just tic-tac-toe, and each player has 6 pieces. Too little, too medium, too large. You can place any piece following the normal rules of tic-tac-toe, but you can also place larger pieces over smaller pieces. So you can put it over your own guy to protect it. You can put it over somebody else's guy to block them. It's really just that simple, but it's one of those games that takes that very simple tic-tac-toe mechanism and makes it way more strategic. So we had fun.
That's good stuff.
Did not mind getting stomped.
No, that's good. We went a little bit in the opposite direction with our ad hoc game group. We got 6 guys together, and given this season, we played a wonderful 6-player game of Campaign Trail.
I have to admit, I'm a little jealous.
It was awesome. So there were 2 brothers there, and there were 2 of my best friends, Corey and Spencer, and then there was me and this other guy, Dave, who also has the last name Smith.
Dave and Corey have both written for our site.
They have written for the Family Gamers website. And so we obviously decided that the Smiths had to be one team, the brothers had to be another team, and then Corey and Spencer had to be the third team.
Okay.
So Dave and I were the Democrats. I think I was the vice presidential candidate, and he was the presidential candidate. Not that those two actually matter.
Really, just you were the blue team.
We were the blue team, right. And obviously, as the blue team, we start off with high voter count in the Northeast, in California, and I guess that's pretty much it. Like, we have a lot of states in the Northeast,
yeah.
Obviously. The Pacific Northwest, we were pretty okay. And as the game went on, it became a little bit of a slugfest between the red team and the blue team. And the yellow team was just kind of slowly creeping along. and slowly growing their powers. And the yellow team eventually got Florida. Well, the yellow team starts with Florida, and eventually they got New York.
Okay.
That was big.
Sure.
So as soon as we saw them starting to put a bunch of resources in New York, we went south and grabbed Florida. Then, as we were trying to grow our influence out of Florida, kind of take over the Southeast United States, the red team decided to fly their heavy hitter to California. And this is pretty much at the end of the game. So, of course, I had to follow the red team to California, pour all of the resources I possibly could into California, which is 55 electoral votes out of the 538.
That's a lot.
And they campaigned, which gave them 6 voters in California. I campaigned, which gave me 6 voters in California, which gave it back to us by like 3. And then they dropped a second campaign event in California, taking it back at the very end of the game. So we actually lost 55 electoral votes at the very end of the game.
Oh, man.
Luckily for us, Dave pulled the perfect card to perform a campaign action in the, like, I guess, upper Midwest. I don't know. Is Michigan considered upper Midwest? It was in that kind of Michigan,
so, yeah.
Illinois, Indiana kind of area.
Mm-hmm.
And we snagged a few states from the yellow team. And at the end of the game, are you ready for the end of game scoring?
Yes.
Okay, now keep in mind, this is a little bit more political information for you. There's 538 electors. There's how many from the House of Representatives?
435.
How many from the Senate?
And then 100 from the Senate, right. So 535.
And then there's 3, 4.
D.C.?
Washington, D.C., exactly. So, at the end of the game, the final game scoring was 178 to 179 to 181.
Wow! That is incredibly close.
Yeah, the blue team won. Even losing California, we still won.
Wow. That is amazing.
It was so swingy at the end of the game, and you're moving these huge pieces. So for those of you who haven't seen the way Campaign Trail works, there's essentially this track, and all of the states move along this sliding track, and all of the cardboard chits for each state are sized appropriately.
Yeah, they're big rectangles that slot into the track.
Mm-hmm.
So like California and New York are these huge rectangles, and places like Rhode Island, which has, I think, 3 electoral votes, are these tiny little slivers.
So we're moving all this stuff. I mean, it was just nuts. It was just crazy. And then at the very end, we're looking at it and we're like, we literally need to add these up because we don't know who won.
Because they were so close, because you couldn't tell just by looking.
First and last were 3 votes apart.
Yeah, that's amazing.
It was an incredible game. And so after that, the brothers were like, we're done, we're out of here. It was getting late, 10:30, something like that.
Yeah.
So we figured, you know, 10:45, we could pick up a game of Pan Am.
So then you played Pan Am.
Yeah, we did.
All right. Well, first, let me repeat that the first game was Campaign Trail from Cosmic Wombat Games.
You actually should check it out. If you go to Kickstarter, they're in the middle of their Green Party expansion Kickstarter right now.
Ah.
And you can get a reprint of the game. It's being done by Gray Fox as the publisher now.
Okay.
So Cosmic Wombat still obviously is developing the game, but Gray Fox is doing the publishing, which is better. You can get, I have the deluxe version of Campaign Trail. I am actually kind of contemplating getting it for the Green Party expansion.
Oh my goodness.
Even though I play this game like maybe once every 8 months. But I feel like I'm so invested and I've got the deluxe version of the game anyway. Like, I should just get the Green Party. I don't know what's going to happen when the census results come out and all the numbers change. I have no idea.
They're going to say this is pre-2020 census.
I mean, could you maybe buy a census pack where they like issue stickers for every state and then a new set of the cardboard?
I don't know. You probably could.
I don't know. Whatever. Anyway, so head over to Kickstarter, do a little search in there for Cosmic Wombat, Campaign Trail, Green Party Expansion, any of those things, you'll probably find it.
Campaign Trail also has the distinction of being the first game we ever reviewed for the Family Gamers website.
That's true. Way back in 2015. We got a chance to preview the game, so we were still doing Kickstarters at that time.
Yeah, before Kickstarter.
I actually reviewed Campaign Trail for the site that I was doing some work for before we started the Family Gamers, and Corey, who we previously mentioned, mm-hmm. did the preview for the Family Gamers website. So it all comes full circle.
It does, and I'm super glad that we have the full deluxe version now, and you guys are able to play it, and someday I will get another chance to play it.
I mean, that game is a table hog. We took out, so for those of you who know this, we used the Lego League competition table. This is a full 4-foot by 8-foot table. And we had a little bit of room left.
Sure. That sounds about right for this game.
That's a monstrous amount of room that this game takes up. But we had a lot of fun. And like I said, after that, we played a 4-player game of Pan Am.
Nice.
Yeah. So we played Corey's copy of Pan Am. Spencer has also bought the game, but he can't play it yet because he bought it for his wife.
Aww.
And because I guess I have a tradition where he buys her a game for her birthday, which is super cute.
I hope she's not listening.
Yeah, I'll figure that out after the fact. And so he has it and can't play it. So he was very, very glad to have a chance to play the game. So the four of us, we all really, really liked it. We had a blast playing Pan Am. That was a really great night. And then we stayed up until 2 o'clock in the morning talking, which was probably not a good idea, but it was wonderful.
You said there was a third game you played.
There was. I played a solo game.
What?
What is happening?
Are you turning into me?
So I do a lot of board game trading because we just kind of move through titles and I'm really trying to purge. And so I'm doing some of these like maybe 3-for-1, 5-for-2 kind of trades to move on from titles that, you know, don't really grab our attention. And sometimes it helps because I can pick up a title that I've heard about and I was curious about and kind of wasn't really sure. And one of those titles was a card game from First Fish Games called Town Builder Covorden. That's exactly what it is. It's a little town building game. It's pretty cute. There's kind of a central tableau where buildings are coming out and you draft buildings as foundations and then you draft other cards to gain resources to build those buildings. And then it becomes almost kind of like a engine builder-y kind of thing. It's nice. It's a short little game. I played it solo in about 20 minutes on Tuesday night. Had some fun with it. I will probably play it some more, hopefully with, you know, other humans.
With people.
Yeah. But it was fun. It's one of those games where the solo version, you're trying to hit a certain score and like 30 points is the lowest threshold. I scored 24. So pretty bad, but it was really a learning game.
Yeah,
I was
kind of
rushing
through
it and stuff like that. So that was Town Builder Covorden. So like that. That was fun.
I get worried when I play a solo game and get like mid to top tier on my first ever try.
Well, you are a gaming whiz.
I did that the very first time I played Fiverr Find In solo, and I knew at that point, I'm like, I am never going to score this well again. Never going to happen. Because I had already played it enough in a group that I was like, I'm just getting exactly the right rolls.
Sure. Have you ever beaten that score?
No, because it was a perfect score.
Oh.
Literally. It's never going to happen again.
I suppose when it's in fact, impossible.
All right, so let me give you what else I played.
Absolutely.
Because it is homeschool day, we played some Timeline. Asher is not really a fan of this game, but I'm watching him get better and better at it every time we play. So I wish he enjoyed it more, but it definitely falls into that realm of this is an educational game that is an educational game. The education factor is a lot higher than the game factor. And I've come to grips with that. So it really is just a, hey, we're going to do something with homeschooling that's not even necessarily more fun than reading a book, but just different. The other thing that we played was some more Prisma Arena.
Yeah, it's a really good game.
It is a really good game. Our review for it should be coming out the same day as this podcast.
It will.
But really what I have to say for this is there is so much to love about this game. Kids and boys in particular tend to be really drawn to fighting games, arena fighting games. I mean, one of Asher's other favorites is Bakugan, which is another arena fighting game. But Prisma Arena is not gentle, but
wholesome.
Wholesome, yeah. Kind.
Yeah, it is weird how wholesome this game feels. Not that it's weird that a game feels wholesome, but like, it's a battle, like, it's weird.
It's a battling game.
It's weird that the narrative actually affects your impression of the game.
Yeah, it really does. Well, and it turns into this idea of, you know, you are heroes in training and you're sparring with each other to improve your abilities, sharpen your skills, and become a better master of emotions. And you're going to save the world by fighting back despair or something like that.
So, like, the emotion thing, like, that's fine. And I appreciate that and whatever. But there's something about the leveling up and you even get points when you lose.
Mm-hmm.
And you're making your character better even if you're not winning.
Yes.
And it really feels good. Because when the game is over, yes, one person has won and one person has lost, but you still get something. There's something about that, and then say you both level up your character, at the end of the game, you're maybe getting some new cling stickers to put on your characters, and you can sit there with the person that you were just, air quote, beating up.
Yeah.
And you can be like, look at this cool thing that I get. And you're like, oh, look at these new Prisma powers. And this.
Yeah.
And you can have those experiences, which are similar to the experiences when I would like buy a box of Magic cards and open them with my friends.
Yeah.
It's that same kind of wholesome, like, character building, group building kind of experience. Honestly, this is almost like the reason why we got into playing games with our kids is to have these shared experiences that are universally positive. And especially in a battle game, I think Hub Games did an incredible job capturing that and having all of the stuff around the actual core game mechanic experience that make it something that, you know, kids really want to go back to. And it's actually a game, so you don't hate yourself for going back to the game that your kids really want to go back to.
There's skill involved here, some luck, but mostly it's a head-to-head battle and you're not always sure what your opponent is going to do. But it just feels great to know, like, oh, well, even if my guy got beat, I can come in again next round with the same guy, with the same powers. I'm not losing anything. They're gaining points, but I'm just losing, you know, he's no longer in the spot in the arena that he was in before.
It's very much a game where the feel of the pieces and the feel of the environment is positive. And if you're going to inject negativity into it, like, you really have to bring it with you. Right?
I mean, yeah,
I mean, that's 100%. Obviously possible. Like, if someone's in a bad, grumpy mood and they play a game, everybody ends up in a bad, grumpy mood. That's how it works. But it's not like one of these games where you're looking through the characters and you're like, oh, this is the big, nasty guy. I want to pick him. Like,
yeah,
that doesn't exist in this game. And even though it sounds a kind of trite, I guess, that's actually welcome. And it does affect the mood of the players, I think.
I think so, yeah. So that's Prisma Arena from Hub Games. Please go check out our review. We are big, big fans of this game. Highly recommended, especially if you have multiple children in your family. This game, more than any other, has captured the interest of our kids in playing it together.
Yeah, and I'm just so pleased to see the kids having fun doing it. And I mean, the lockers are so cool. It's such an adorable idea. It really is. Anyway, whatever. Head over to thefamilygamers.com. Check out the review for Prisma Arena. It's going to be out the same day as this podcast. And don't forget to pre-order the game.
Yeah.
It's coming out, like, soon, like in a week.
Real soon.
Yes.
All right, I think that's it. That's all we've been playing this week. But I have one more thing to add.
What?
Don't forget, you have a few more days left to enter the Food Fighters giveaway.
That's true. That's true. We talked about Food Fighters with Josh and Helena last week about how fun this game is. We're going to be releasing a review for this game pretty soon as well. Head over to the Family Gamers website, thefamilygamers.com, or facebook.com/familygamersaa to find a link to the giveaway.
Yes.
And keep it in the back of your mind, because KTPG is doing some great stuff. The Creature Comforts Kickstarter is also imminent.
Another week and a half or so, and then it's starting, yeah.
I think we might kickstart that game, Anitra.
I think I might agree with you on that one.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's take a break.
We'll be right back.
Time to make the donuts.
Not the donuts, the cupcakes.
Ah, the cupcakes.
This is a snap review for Cupcake Academy.
Cupcake Academy is a speedy cooperative puzzle game for 2 to 4 players. It was designed by Erwin Morin and it's published by Blue Orange Games. It's best for kids ages 8 and up. Cupcake Academy works like a cooperative Towers of Hanoi logic puzzle where you and your companions are challenged to match the pictures on a stack of puzzle cards with your cupcake tins as fast as possible. And that's the game! Let's talk about the art.
There's not a lot of art in Cupcake Academy beyond the puzzle pictures that you're trying to match. However, the pictures on the cards are clear and easy to understand. The cupcake tins themselves are colorful and beg to be handled. This is good for kids, but might be a little troublesome for folks who have colorblindness or troubles distinguishing colors, since there's really not much other than color to go on with the pictures. With 5 different sizes of cupcake cup, the size differences aren't always super obvious on the cards. No textures are used on the cards or on the tins, which might have made it a little easier. They're a slick, hard plastic, and it's not always easy to pick them up. How about the mechanics?
So, just like there's not a lot of different kinds of art, there's really not a lot in the mechanics of this game either. All of the players work together as a team to organize their cupcake cups in front of them to match the current card. These cupcake cups are open side down. A player can only pick up one cup at a time and can never place a smaller cup on top of a larger cup. That's the Towers of Hanoi problem. There's one shared plate in the middle of the play area that any player can use to rest a cupcake cup or put there for another player to take. You'll be trading cups a lot in this game. So the goal is to try to get through all of the cards in the stack before the time runs out.
The basic game requires only that each player has the correct colors showing on their 3 plates. But for an expert pastry chef, try to match the positions pictured for each cup too. Still not enough of a challenge? Try the achievement checklist to track just how many assignment cards you can finish in the allotted time to get a bronze, silver, gold, or star baker award. Then try using only your non-dominant hand, or see if you can complete all of the assignments without speaking. Let's talk about what we expected out of this game.
So, like many math and computer nerds, we are big fans of the Towers of Hanoi puzzle.
Sure are.
We know what it's called, even, which is something in and of itself. And it's very definitely one of the inspirations for Cupcake Academy. We had hoped that the brightly colored cupcake cups and the teamwork would lure our children in to play the game, and we were really hopeful that the theme would entice our 12-year-old to be interested in what was going on.
Since she is about all things food and baking.
That's right, that's come up on the show and on our reviews before. But we were surprised by a few things. What were those?
Well, first of all of the Blue Orange games we've played, Cupcake Academy feels the most like a successor to Dr. Eureka, even though it's cooperative and it's not a dexterity game. Well, not much.
But that's actually a good thing. We love Dr. Eureka.
Yeah, like Dr. Eureka, you're stacking pieces in order to make specific patterns. But since the larger cups fully cover the smaller ones, you can't see what you've already stacked, and you'll need to remember what's hiding underneath each cup.
At 2 players, Cupcake Academy was pretty much what we expected, a cooperative puzzle. It involves some trading back and forth using the shared plate, but especially when you and I played it together, we communicated fairly well and it wasn't a problem. At 3 players, things got a little bit more hectic, and at 4, there was so much going on that we as adults couldn't even quarterback the game anymore, which is probably a good thing.
Not even unintentionally.
Right. We couldn't tell the kids what to do because no one person could keep track of everything that was happening.
It was tough for our kids to balance the need to be assertive.
No, I need that cup over here.
While still collaborating towards a common goal. It was also really difficult for our kids to stop focusing on their own personal puzzle long enough to realize that their pieces might affect someone else. But when they could manage to hold both parts in their head, it was so rewarding.
And it kind of is a good training tool to help kids realize that there are things you can control and things that you can't.
That's very true.
So, we agree with the recommended age of 8+, and I don't think we can recommend playing it with younger kids. Mistakes and misunderstandings are going to happen, but younger kids will not be able to recover quickly and keep the game going. For a 6-year-old, it led to a lot of frustration because he just couldn't understand what to do, and the other players aren't allowed to do it for him, and because there is a timer, frustrations just mounted with everyone.
Yeah. Also, unfortunately, our older kids didn't take to Cupcake Academy right away. Once they started to see how the patterns worked, they were ready to try again. But ultimately, our oldest didn't love the game, even though it's sort of food-themed. But we think that's because she's much more into art and music than puzzles.
Our burgeoning programmer, our 9-year-old, on the other hand, definitely enjoyed himself.
I'm going to leave you with one last thing. Our oldest gave me a quote. The saddest thing about Cupcake Academy is there's no cake. You can find Cupcake Academy on Amazon or at your local game store for about $20.
So we give Cupcake Academy from Blue Orange Games 3 out of 5 cupcake tins.
And that's Cupcake Academy in a snap. we're back.
All right, so this week, like we mentioned before, we are going to talk about Room to Grow. So we've done one of these Room to Grow things before.
Yeah, we did it talking about engine builders. And our concept here is, if you're interested in this type of game, but you're not really sure how to bring kids in on the lower end and then get up to a gateway level game that your whole family could play, we want to give a couple of steps on how you can grow through those stages. So when we were talking about Room to Grow with engine builders, we said start with Splendor or Machikoro. Those are both very simple. Splendor doesn't even require any reading. Move up to Century Golem or Century Spice Road, which are the same game, just with different themes. Again, there's not even any reading in those games, but it begins to have a few more things going on, like victory points are separate from resources. And our final suggestion, sort of the grown-up engine builder that's still a family-level game, was Wingspan.
Yeah, and so when we really talked about those last time, the concept of Room to Grow was really talking specifically about the complexity of those games. So a game like Machikoro, it's an air quote adult game that kids can play.
Yes.
So when we talk about tile laying games this week, we're sort of adjusting that a little bit. So the first game that we have on our list is really for the younger ages. So if you are looking for Room to Grow for older kids or adults looking at getting into tile laying games, don't worry. You can start with number two, and we're not just going to give you three. We're actually going to squeeze a few more recommendations
near
in there.
The end, yeah.
So don't turn this off as soon as you hear that our first recommendation when you're just getting started is for the Game Right game, Hiss.
So this is the simplest possible tile laying game. Like other tile laying games, it's very open. There aren't really restrictions on putting your tiles to fit in a grid, or you know, they have to go in this spot or this spot. Instead, the only restriction is that colors have to match. So you're going to build a snake where there's never these abrupt changes in color. The color changes are all done on each individual tile, and the tiles on their edges match up on the colors.
And really, you're just taking turns making snakes. There's kind of winners and losers, but it almost doesn't really matter. The point here is the turn taking and the pattern matching.
With really little kids, it's just about turn taking. When they get a little bigger, you can start introducing a little bit of strategy of when there is a choice to make of where to put a tile. Well, if I finish off this snake, the snake becomes mine. And whoever has the, I think, the longest total length of snakes wins the game.
But you can even modify that pretty easily. You can say whoever has the most snakes, whoever has the longest single snake,
yep,
or whatever.
Any of those.
There's all sorts of different ways that you can do that. And the point here, again, is the recognition of tiles and matching tiles so that they create a continuous flow.
Yeah, pretty much.
And that's the value in a game like Hiss.
But Hiss is going to lose its luster with kids who are past about first grade or so.
Yeah, I would say that's probably accurate. I mean, it's great. The tiles are big and chunky, and you're not going to break them. So it's perfect for that younger age.
For real
range.
Little kids,
but
yeah.
Like you said, kids will age out of this game. It's something to be expected.
So for our midweight game, let's recommend one that they will not grow out of.
Right. And remember what I said before, if you are just learning how to get into tile laying games, this is a great one even for adults. I wouldn't even call it a midweight game, but it's our middle game in our Room to Grow series.
Sure.
On tile laying games, and that is King Domino.
So we love King Domino. I think it's really, really flexible in who you can play it with. I have played King Domino with kids who are not reading, with kids who understand a little bit of math, but not very much. Like they understand counting on and maybe counting by twos or counting by fives or something like that. And you can use those concepts to help them add up their scores at the end. But the core of King Domino is a simple tile laying and matching game. You're matching up your terrain types and trying to get big contiguous areas of the same terrain type with a lot of crowns in it, because it's crowns times terrain size that gets you your points. King Domino also starts to introduce concepts of other restraints fitting inside a 5x5 square, but you get to decide how that 5x5 square works.
There's also a few expansions for King Domino's, like Age of Giants, which mm-hmm. if you play the game, you really like the game, you want it to grow a little bit with you, you can do that. Listen, this is a game that won Best Game of the Year in 2017. There's a reason why. It's incredibly flexible. At two players, you can even play with 7x7 grids instead of 5x5 mm-hmm. grids. Mm-hmm. It's always going to be a game that you can go back to, even if you get into heavier games and you just kind of want a palate cleanser or a filler or something to ease out the night, or you don't really have it in you to get into something really deep, King Domino is always a great option.
Yeah, I am a big fan of King Domino, and it's one of those games that I will never say no to.
And both Hiss and King Domino can be found in Target.
Yeah, Walmart. Pretty much anywhere that games are sold.
Yep, that's right. So that's our second recommendation in the series, King Domino.
All right, and now for our family classic, we have to say that it's Carcassonne.
I mean, it has to be, right?
It has to be Carcassonne.
It has to be Carcassonne. You know, we went back and forth a lot. I will be completely transparent. It is not my favorite tile laying game, but in the grand scheme of what we're really looking at here, tile laying games that are excellent, widely appreciated, they can continue to expand with you, and they're games that you will grow into. There is no greater classic than Carcassonne.
Yeah, so, I mean, the whole idea behind Carcassonne is that you're building together a landscape with cities and roads and everything, but you're trying to claim your bits of that landscape to get the most points. So it's got this tug-of-war aspect you don't see in our earlier games. And if Carcassonne by itself just doesn't quite hold appeal for you, there's probably an expansion that you would enjoy more.
There's a ton of expansions.
So many.
For this game. By the way, Carcassonne, since we're talking about Spiel des Jahres, Carcassonne was actually the winner in, you want to guess what year?
2002?
2001. That's a good guess. So Carcassonne's been around for almost 20 years, and it's been a great game the whole time.
It is a modern classic, and it deserves that status, even if not everybody cares for it. Right.
So, I know we said room to grow, three games, but we always kind of cheat and stuff a bunch of extra stuff into this. Plus, if you didn't want to start with Hiss, you wanted to start with King Domino, let's talk about a couple of extra other games that we could put into this list, some games that we think are really, really excellent. For us, in Shea Family Gamers, our Carcassonne killer is actually Isle of Skye.
So Isle of Skye looks a little bit like Carcassonne, but doesn't actually feel a whole lot like Carcassonne. You're back to building your own individual city or island or whatever, more like in King Domino. Mm-hmm. But there's all kinds of bidding back and forth for tiles. So there's still sort of a tug of war with the other players.
It's got that cyclical scoring mechanic that you see in a game like Cartographers, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, where there's the A, B, C, and D scoring mechanisms, and the first round is A and B, and the second round is like B and C, and the mm-hmm. third round is B and D or something like that. And so it all kind of swirls around. You're building your own little island, I guess, from Chieftain King, your little island, and there's kind of like set collection going on with some of the icons on the tiles that you're trying to draft,
depending on what the goals are for
right
whatever
so
round.
It's a much more multi-level game, I think, than at least base Carcassonne. We didn't really explore a ton of the different expansions
because
the game didn't super grab us all that much. But Isle of Skye is an excellent option if you're looking for something that is significantly more complex than Carcassonne, or Carcassonne didn't grab you. It's definitely a way to go.
Thinking of other games that take tile laying and tweak it a little bit, we really, really enjoyed Miyabi from Habba Games.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. You know, a few years ago, we played and you loved the game Number 9.
Yeah, that's another one where it's tile laying, but it's stacking, and the puzzle in that case is very, very abstract.
Right. Miyabi, I think, is just head and shoulders above Number 9. So if you have played Number 9 and you like it, Miyabi is definitely something to check out. It's also a Habba release, so it's accessible.
Yes. Miyabi, I love that, like I said, it takes this kind of tile laying idea and tweaks it a little bit more. You have constraints in that every row, I think, in your garden can only have a certain kind of stuff in it. So that's where a lot of the restrictions come in. But you're also stacking pieces, so they have to be supported. And you also have restrictions each turn on where you can place in the columns. And the whole thing together makes it super interesting as you draft tiles from a central area and you try to take the high priority tiles first and leave the garbage that other people should take.
So Miyabi from Michael Kiesling and Haba Games is a really, really great, beautiful game. A lot of fun. Really enjoy playing that. And then I think probably the tiling game that I know of that turns the most norms on its head is probably Sorcerer City. Sorcerer City is tiling with matching, but it's also timed, and it's almost like a tableau builder, I guess. It's a really, really interesting game from Druid City Games. It's just hitting fulfillment now, so it should be available extremely sooner. I guess it has already hit fulfillment, so you probably can find it at your local game store.
And if you can't, they should have it soon.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we are on tile laying games. We think for room to grow, Hiss is an excellent place to start with very young children, teaching them the basics of how tile laying works and taking turns and matching the patterns. You can move on to King Domino. You can always come back to King Domino as a nice filler game. And then the classic Carcassonne. But since Carcassonne's not our favorite, we also recommend Isle of Skye and Miyabi and Sorcerer City if you want a little bit more meat in your tile laying games.
You know, one of the nice things about this is that all of these games are relatively inexpensive. The most expensive of these is Carcassonne at $27, but Hiss is $15 and King Domino is under $20, $18. So they're relatively inexpensive and you will get a ton of play out of them.
Yeah, and our main three should be really easy to find pretty much anywhere.
That's right. So that's it for this edition of Room to Grow Tile Laying Games.
If you have questions about tile laying games or you want to talk more about what your favorite is, you can find us online.
That's right. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at FamilyGamersAA. But also there's our community. I actually love the conversations that come up in our community. We'll post about tile laying games specifically, and we'd love to hear your feedback about your favorite tile laying games there so that all sorts of people can talk about it. The easiest way to get there is to go to thefamilygamers.com/community.
You can, of course, email us.
Andrew at thefamilygamers.com.
Anitra at thefamilygamers.com. Please don't forget to subscribe to this podcast. Tell your friends about the podcast. Recommend us to strangers if you want. And if you can leave us a review on Apple Podcast, that does so much to increase our visibility. We would really, really appreciate it.
I want to mention something.
Okay.
Did you know that there is Family Gamer swag coming?
I mean, I did, yes.
I guess you knew. So we are working with a designer on some sweet custom Family Gamer swag. So if you are interested in supporting the Family Gamers in that way, hang on tight. It's coming very, very soon. Speaking of things that are coming very, very soon, there is a contest that is coming to a close very, very soon, in about a week, I think.
That's right. We mentioned it just before the break, but we'll remind you again, we're giving away a copy of Food Fighters.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And there are tiles in Food Fighters. It's not a tile laying game, but there are tiles in Food Fighters.
No, it's a dueling game.
Yes, it is.
But it's a great game, and your family will certainly enjoy it.
Absolutely. Head over to thefamilygamers.com to find the post that has that contest in it.
Of course, we would be remiss if we did not thank First Move Financial. Family Gamers is sponsored by First Move Financial. Go to firstmovefinancial.com/familygamers to learn how the team at First Move Financial can help you pile up the victory points.
Thank you to First Move Financial. Well, I think that is going to be it for us this week.
I think we should go play some tile laying games.
All right, let's do that.
Until next time, play games with your kids.